Today in the life of the Franciscan Order, we celebrate the memorial of Blessed John Duns Scotus, and truly he was a man who understood what it was to be a repentant sinner, for among one of the doctrines he was noted for defending was the doctrine of original sin. And Blessed John Duns Scotus, by all accounts, had an average intelligence, but that intelligence will be elevated to extraordinary heights by grace. For he would constantly pray to the Mother of God, and he would continue to grow both in his love of God and in the wisdom that he would give to the world. And indeed, he is well known by an expression that was meant to be derogatory, but indeed it is derogatory in a worldly sense, but it points out the gift of his mind. For all of us have heard of the dunce cap, and we know when we refer to someone who is a dunce, literally what was meant at the time it was coined was one who was incapable of scholarship, and it was particularly directed towards Blessed John Duns Scotus because of his ability to make all the proper distinctions. And so he was not popular with those whose movement was based on enthusiasm, that is, our Protestant brethren. And so they would coin that phrase in reference to anyone who was capable of making the distinctions of Blessed John Duns Scotus, and most particularly he would make those distinctions in some of the primary doctrines that Holy Mother Church teaches. He was exiled from the University of Paris when he would defend the prerogative of the Vicar of Christ, and he most is particularly noted for his defense of the Immaculate Conception. It was indeed that formulation that Blessed Pius IX used when he defined solemnly the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, for it was Blessed John Duns Scotus who pointed out that a physician can heal in one of two ways. He can either heal, give the medicine once the disease is contracted, or he can give medicine that prevents one from contracting the disease. And indeed, in the case of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we know full well that she was preserved from the stain of all original sin from the first moment of her conception. That is, never at any moment in her life did she contract the disease of original sin. And this stood contrary to those who wish to base their religious experience on enthusiasm, and so they can have none of a pure virgin who points out to them and is held up as the model and exemplar of all true followers of Christ. For in the Blessed Virgin Mary, Blessed John Duns Scotus realized we have the exemplar of the follower of Christ, and so we must imitate all her virtues. This is very contrary for those who wish to deny the prerogatives of the Pope, and Blessed John Duns Scotus knew full well that if anyone were to assail any one of these primary doctrines, the Immaculate Conception, the absolute primacy of Christ, or the fact that Jesus Christ has established a man, that is, the Vicar of Christ, the successor of Peter, if one was to attack any one of these three doctrines, then one necessarily attacks all of the doctrines, for he knew full well, and he taught the absolute primacy of Jesus Christ. And so an assault on Christ necessarily leads to an assault on his mother and on the Vicar of Christ, and so it is with an assault on the Vicar of Christ necessarily leading to assault on our Lord himself and his most holy mother, and an assault on the Virgin Mary leads to a denial of both the prerogatives of Peter and also the belief in the Incarnation. And so we live in a world that truly needs the teachings of Blessed John Duns Scotus, and again, if we hold up these teachings, then maybe we too will be blessed to have the same epithet thrown at us, that we too are dunces. But let us always remember, as Blessed John Duns Scotus remembered, to be a dunce for Christ is greater than to be recognized as the most intelligent of men in the secular order. Blessed John Duns Scotus knew full well that, strictly speaking, there is no such thing as a secular order, that is, an order separated from Christ. That is why he defended with every fiber of his being the absolute primacy of Jesus Christ over all of creation, not simply the inanimate objects and not simply the soulless objects, but all creation. And most particularly, Blessed John Duns Scotus knew that Christ must reign over the mind and heart of man, so that that virtue that was the keynote of his theology, that is the virtue of charity, may grow in us. For he recognized full well that insofar as we grow in charity, we grow in freedom. Because the more we grow in charity, the more we are able to serve God and to carry out his will. That's why he saw the Blessed Virgin Mary as the most charitable of all of God's creatures, and the woman whose charity none of us can exceed. And indeed, all of the charity that we would exercise combined until the end of time would not exceed the charity of the Mother of God. And so, let us strive to attain that charity so that we too may become known as dunces by the world, so that we may become known as children of God by the Most Holy Mother of God, so that she will preserve us and give us the grace to defend her prerogatives and all the prerogatives of the Church, as she did to Blessed John Duns Scotus, so that the world may truly come again to know, love, and serve Jesus Christ. And so, he is a forgotten theologian in most parts, even in the Catholic world, but he is a theologian whose theology is most needed in this secular age. For in making all those subtle distinctions he was noted for, he points out those three primary doctrines without which no man can truly work out his salvation in fear and trembling. That is, the absolute primacy of Christ, and most especially that the incarnation is not conditioned on the fall of mankind, but that Jesus Christ is first and foremost in the mind of God when he decides to create, and in order to do so, he includes the Blessed Virgin Mary in that same decree. And so she is of the decree of the hypostatic union, and thence separated from us from original sin. And perhaps more especially for us, because it is through the Vicar of Christ that we come to know about the teachings of our Lord and about the doctrines of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it is perhaps in this that we must most marvel, because Jesus Christ has established a man who is a victim of original sin, as was the first pope and every pope that will succeed him, who is a victim of original sin, and so subject to all the trials and tribulations, subject to all the temptations of doubt that all of us are, and yet we are called to make an act of faith and to believe with every fiber of our being that this man by grace is preserved on making any errors regarding faith and morals. And indeed, it is because of this that we know of the Immaculate Conception. It is because of this that we know of the primacy of Christ. And it is because of this that we will know until the end of time all the doctrines of the Church. And so, let us especially pray this day for the Holy Father, that he may continue to have the courage to hold out the true faith to the world until the end of time, so that all may truly come to know, love, and serve Jesus Christ. And let us especially pray this day to Blessed John Duns Scotus, that the world will abandon its maddening pursuit for secularization, that is, its right to declare that what Jesus Christ says to be sinful, the world says is the path of happiness, and what Jesus Christ says is the path to happiness, the world declares to be sinful. It is literally, we are living literally in the throes of a society that is seeking to turn upside down everything that Christ said and right side up everything that Christ said will not serve in order for us to gain our happiness. And so, Blessed John Duns Scotus is most needed in this day and age, but more particularly, she is needed who he held out as the model and exemplar of all Christian life. And so let us especially turn to her, whose great defender he was, so that we too may be her great defender, knowing full well that we defend the prerogatives of the Mother of God insofar as charity grows in our life, and insofar as we exercise the purity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And that purity is simply not regulated to observance of the sixth and ninth commandments according to our vocation, but that purity is purity that is freedom from all mortal sin, and that is what we must truly strive for. And indeed, is a purity that is free from all stain of any sin, and even from the effects of original sin. We know full well we cannot attain that, but the effects of original sin can be the very means by which we constantly grow in faith, because they help us recognize the need of the intercession of the Mother of God and the dispensing of the graces that she holds in the bosom of her heart to all mankind. And so let us strive always and everywhere to seek our grace from the Mother of God, because in doing so we seek our happiness from her, and she alone possesses the only thing that can make us happy, Jesus Christ, King of all creation and Lord over all things, and most especially the one who has come to rule over our minds and our hearts, so that we may attain union with him for all eternity.